Start with sharing a thought with you. In the concept called, we talk about the word kavanah, having kavanah and davening, which is that's obviously the goal. To think about davening is to have figure help us with our kavanah and davening. So let's just talk about the word kavanah for a second. I shared this idea a little bit earlier that the concept of kavanah. So the word kavanah is translated as direction. Right? Kivun is a direction. So we're talking about kavanah. The correct way to say it is it's in the kuda of a direction a person's going. Directed thoughts. This is directed thought. What is directed thought? Directed thought is I have a direction I want to go, a place I want to go, and I'm going to. So we usually wait to get to Shemoneh Esrei, and we get to Shemoneh Esrei. We say, okay, now I'm at Shemoneh Esrei, and what are the words going to tell me? That's an accomplishment itself, you know, that the words should talk to you. It is a very important accomplishment that the words should talk to you, because the point of the tefillah is not to say the words, but the words should talk to you. Really, the real goal is that the words should talk to you. Should talk to Hashem. Right? That's the real goal. It's not the words talking to you, or you're talking to the words. It's you talking to Hashem. One of the reasons why we have difficulty in kavanah is because it's very hard to have kavanah talking to a wall. It's much easier to have kavanah talking to a person. So I mentioned recently that Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal, one of his grandsons, told me that he used to daven in a conversational voice. You know, it wasn't like, you know. It's an interesting question. Like I the first year I was here. Besides teaching, sharing base matters, I also taught the 8th grade. Somewhere along one of our many discussions we had with 8th grade, they were trying to put me into perspective, this really strange guy from Tulsa Yeshiva, was somebody commented the fact that I daven very slowly. I don't think I daven very slowly. I think most people daven quick. But anyway, but that's a bad question of perspective. So, but the boy said, like, you know, imagine you walk up to your friend and you say to your friend, "Hello, how are you? It is so nice to see you." Right? That'd be pretty strange. So, like, why would Hashem want me to talk to him like that? That was the question that one of the boys in the shir asked me. There's one person here who may even remember who it is. Remember who it is? No? Okay. Right. So it's a good question. He wanted to understand, like, you know, what's this idea? And it's a good point. You know, so Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal used to daven. He davened in a conversational voice. If you ever heard any of his shurim, how he spoke, etc., say either listen or know someone else. So he had a certain way he spoke. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Haolam, Yetzer Hara, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, Baruch Hashem. Hello, how are you today? It's so nice to see you. Like that type of, that's all he would speak, because he wanted to stretch, you know, drive home to himself that he's talking to somebody. So he spoke in a conversational voice. He didn't sing. He didn't dance. You know, we're talking to Hashem. Most of us start singing, I mentioned that Mrs. Tadawa one time mentioned to my wife that, you know, this lady who would come frum through them was describing that, looking backwards, describing her first suitor by the house, and she said it was like, you know, we were just sitting and talking, next thing you know, they started singing. It's like you're in a musical, like, you know, they start singing in the middle of the meal, you know, like, you know, in most, you know, I guess it's true, if you go to a Thanksgiving dinner, they don't sing in the middle, you know, there's like, all of a sudden they start singing, you know, it's like, you know, like, next thing I said, they thought they were going to, like, start dancing, you know, with a choreography, you know, like, you know, it's a musical, you know, like, so, you know, you're talking to Hashem, so you start singing, like, you know, you start, you know, saying really intensely, you're like, you know, you're talking to him, just like, talk to him, like, what, we find davening so hard, because we're not talking to somebody. So that's one issue with the issue of kavanah, which is a significant issue of kavanah, is the ability to recognize you're talking to Hashem. And if we would get to the point where we're really talking to Hashem, our kavanah would be it's not difficult at all to have kavanah. You're talking. Again, it's not hard to talk to somebody. It's much harder to say a shir like to a tape recorder than it is to a live audience. Even people who say to live who record something, they have one person there sitting there, preferably. It makes them more comfortable saying the shir. Yeah. And eventually get used to it, but I've done it. It takes a while getting used to it, like talking just to a tape recorder and sounding natural. Okay, but I think there's a different way to look at the word kavana, and I think the kavana is an idea of if the idea of kavana is a direction, is a directed thought. See, I can. So it's a question of direction means directed thought. So the first step is before the world of GPSs, when you travel somewhere, you got your directions beforehand. You looked at a map, and you said, "Where am I going?" And then you went. You didn't start driving, except for like if you're like a teenage male or something like that. And you start driving, we'll figure it out along the way. Of course, you won't ask anybody for directions because it's a pasnish, So I'll go around for the extra hour trying to find the place, But the average normal human being would get directions beforehand and then go. And where he has to go. So before we start davening, we have to have a direction. Where am I going with this davening? Where is this davening taking me? What do I want to do with this davening? What do I want to accomplish with this davening? And then we say we're having a kavana, we're having a direction with our davening. So it's a question. What you want to talk about is like, what are some things that you would want to direct your davening towards? Let's see if we can do that. So it would seem to me that there probably are two main directions that our thought is going to be directed at. And one of them, three, and we'll put them in very simply as the past, the present, and the future. So the past is when a person looks back, Rosh Hashanah, he says, Rosh Hashanah was a year ago, there was Rosh Hashanah, and the person gave me a year of life, and I have to thank him for the year of life that he gave me. I have to recognize what I've accomplished with that year. I have to feel a Karsa Toiv to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have to express a Karsa Toiv. So one of the things that we want to do in Tefillah is to thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Matnas Chaim that he gave us, Matana of Chaim that he gave us, and the benefits which we got from that. So it would require us to pause for a little bit before Rosh Hashanah, and think about that. So we should really get into the mode, I'm ready to thank Hashem. So now when I daven, I'm thanking Hashem. Is there a specific place in davening where I could hang my hat, as it were, on the idea of thanking the Kodesh Baruch Hu for the previous year? I don't think that you could, until you get to Moedim, right, which we talk about the deal the Russian gave us Chayim, he gave us Nisim and he flows, so that's clearly about that. There are probably other places through the Tefillah, the moment of Tefillah, where we look about that. And the first one is the first bracha, Ashon Esrei, and we start off with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So Elokeinu, Elokei Avraham, we're clearly looking backwards. We're looking back at the Russian's relationship with Klal Yisrael, with us personally, Elokeinu. And Elokeinu means he was Mashkiach on us. The Shulchan Aruch says that you say the word Hashem, you say the word Elokeinu, there are halachas of what the Kavanah is supposed to be. It's Simon Hay in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Simon Hay. The Shulchan Aruch actually delineates what are you supposed to think when you say that name. Rav Moshe says in a tshuva, the way we use the word God means those ideas, so really just thinking God is sufficient because it covers those thoughts. But the Shulchan Aruch actually says that when you say Hashem's name, the Shem of Havaya, we pronounce it with the Aleph and the Dalet, but if it's written, you have to have Kavanah that he's the Adon HaKol, he's the master of everything, which is the language of Adon, right, saying he's the master, and he's also the language of Havaya, of existence, that he's the Hoya, Hoya, V'yiya, U'mahava HaKol. He is, he was, he will be, and he's the source of all existence. Mahave. Then Elokeinu, Elokim is, he's Takif, Bala Yecherlus, Bala Kechus Kulam. He's powerful, and he's the source of all existence, all power in the Bria. Everything which comes from him. Elokeinu is that he does that to be mashkiach on us, to look out for us specifically. So a person saw in his life the Bereshit took care of him. He says it's Elokeinu. The Bereshit is using his power to take care of us. So the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei is a bracha which looks very much back to what was. The bracha was Elokeinu, he's taking care of us. The bracha should continue to be Elokeinu. But then we continue Elokei Avosenu, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The Zecher Chasdei Avos, Mavigo El Livnei Menehem. So we translate that, what was in the past will express itself in the future as well. But it's a moment to stop and to think that you're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu for his relationship. Now the first part of Shemoneh Esrei is Sheva. Rama says that there are three parts. Every tefillah has to have three parts to it. There has to be the bakasha, which is the primary element of the tefillah. But before you ask, you praise. And afterwards, you thank. So there's Shabbat, there's bakasha, and there's Hedor. The Rama seems to learn that this is a primary element in tefillah. I'll kick off when the person discuss. For a woman who has a limited time to daven, she can't daven Shemoneh Esrei. She's met very many young children, etc. So she has a daven tefillah, woman's chayv and tefillah, we pass a woman's chayv and tefillah. If she can't daven Shemoneh Esrei, she should daven eight tefillah, which has all three elements. For example, Birchus HaTorah. Right? You start off with Asher Kisam B'Sav Tzivonu, Lasek B'Di Reisara. So that's Shevach. Then you say, V'harav Noat Bakasha. And you finish off which is a Hidah, thanking Hashem. So that those Birchas HaTorah really gives you a capsule of the Nusach of Tefillah Deraisa, according to Rambam, which is praise, Bakasha, and Sheva, and Hidah. So this is really put as part of the Sheva. So we can't use this as just a place to thank, but it should be the thanks should be a vehicle to recognize the unique relationship we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in a certain sense, to praise Hashem for that. Now, I just want to maybe veer off of this. It's not really Rosh Hashanah Dik. Specifically, I mentioned this idea, I think, around Purim time, here in Yeshiva, that it bears a chazorah. So, two people come to me, Matsoi, towards the end of Yom Kippur, after Ni'ilah. And we know that the halacha is that Kavanah is ma'akev in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. One person comes, and he says, you know, Neil, he's very worn out, very tired. He had kavanah in the first bracha, and the rest of it, just like, you know, just he said the words, he had no idea what he was saying, etc. He said, he had kavanah in the first bracha. Second verse comes to me, he says, you know, he had a phenomenal Neil, and he was tremendous kavanah, and he's thinking about the words, and he felt very connected. But the first bracha, his mind wandered, he didn't have kavanah in the first bracha. So what would I tell those two people? So I would tell the first person, you had kavanah in the first bracha, he's yotzei. The second person, you didn't have kavanah in the first bracha, you're not yotzei. Even though, in our minds, the second person had a much better Shemoneh Esrei, like his mind was much, and the first bracha, anyway, we grapple with what exactly does the first bracha mean, like what's the message of the first bracha. You know, he was thinking about tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and all those, slicha, mechila, kapara, at the hidalt enesh mirai, she had the whole thing with the lam on the phone of, right? Just, he missed the first bracha. This guy, all he got was the first bracha. The rest of the davening, he lost. But the luck is, he's yotzei and he's not. So what's the pshat? So we're forced to say that everything which a Neilim Kippur Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to bequeath us is really there in the first bracha. That I can tell a person that you were yotzei Neilim Kippur with the first bracha. Because it's all there in the first bracha. If you didn't get the first bracha, you didn't really get it. So what is the first bracha? So the first bracha, for those of you who remember when I gave my story about that, I was walking from yeshiva to walking from my house to yeshiva. And now here's the deal. If you believe all Chassidus Shemayis and Satmar Rebbe said like this, if you believe all of them, you're a fool. If you don't believe they could happen, you're an Epicurus. Okay? So I was walking along and this little ant started talking to me. I hear this voice. I don't know where it came from. And I hear this little ant talking to me. And the ant says, Rabbi Rangel. I said, you know, Rabbi Rangel, you know. Finally, I realized there's an ant talking to me. I said, yes. He says, Rabbi Rangel, we think very highly of you. And we want to praise you. And I said, you know, ants, you know, like, let me say something. You know, everybody likes COVID. It's you gotta get covered where it comes from, but there's a limit, you know. Having ants praise me is where I cut the line. It just doesn't do it for me. The gap between a human being and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is much greater than the gap between an ant and Eli Rangel. So he comes to Rosh Hashanah and says, you're wonderful, Rosh Hashanah, you're wonderful. He says, come out, look at Rosh Hashanah, like, really? Like, get a life. Why am I interested in what you have to tell me? Why is he interested? Like, what does he care? It's like an ant talking to me, like it makes my day. You know, like, I feel so good. Ants are walking around Rabbi Rangel's school. What's the pshat? He says the Baruch Hashem, not only is he interested in what I have to say, but the Baruch Hashem calls his name Elokei Avraham. So like right now, I'm the God of the ants. Called the ant Jerry. I'm the God of Jerry. Elokei Avraham. Do you hear the nevus of Kadosh Baruch Hu? That he defines himself. He's interested in our lives. He cares about our lives. He's mashgiach in our lives. To the point he's willing to define himself and put his name. And what is his godless? He's Elokei Avraham. Do you hear the love and the care and the concern which is expressed in that bracha? That's the praise. The Chazal said, whenever you find Gedulasa, you find Amasanusai. The godless of Kadosh Baruch Hu always comes with his anivus. The first bracha Shemoneh Esrei is a tremendous anivus of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's interested. What is he? He's Magen Avraham. It's a mind-boggling thing to think about. So everything else which we do is all just built into that world. This is a world which is we're stressing to ourselves. This is a world where Kadosh Baruch Hu is so interested in us as an individual, as a member of Klal Yisrael, as an Enoch of Avraham Avinu, that the Rosh is so interested in us, he's willing to put his name and say, "Who am I?" He's Elokeinu, he's our God. If you absorb that, the rest of Shemoneh Esrei is memela. That's the main message of Shemoneh Esrei. That's a praise. It's a praise which comes from the Hodah that we feel. We feel a tremendous thanks for Kadosh Baruch Hu that he's willing to do that. I don't think the Baruch Hu, your cows can do this. Baruch Hu takes care of the cows. He's not really interested in the cows. He's interested in the cows because cows affect human beings. They affect the world that he has, which he has a goal for this world, has a purpose. But Elsie, he's not Elokei Elsie. Right? You wouldn't call him Elokei Elsie. Elsie is a cow. Elsie is a cow. Right? You wouldn't say that because that's not how that would be a chutzpah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is he? He's the God of a cow. Right? So that's the first place where you see it in Shemoneh Esrei. Again, you see it by the Hodah very much. You see that element. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaZikaron. We talk about the Rosh of the Zerich, it's called the Mifal. The Rosh remembers everything which took place. Maybe that's a place to think about it as well. Tovar Chaton Mikol Amim. Let's take it a step by two. Now, that which you look back over the year, it's not just the praise of the physical needs which were taken care of. I grew as a Ben Torah. I grew in my knowledge of Torah. I grew in my Avodas Hashem. And we start about Tovar Chaton Mikol Amim, Behavta Zerah Rosh Yisabonu. Ramatan Rekol Shonah, the Russian created a special relationship with Klal Yisrael. Matitalonu, the Russian gave us Ba'ava, a day of Trua, a day of Zikaron, right? Tremendous thing. Atoni Glaser, the third bracha of Musaf, the third Hosafa of Musaf. We had three brachas in the middle. So the first one is Malchus, the second one is Zikaron, and the third one is Shofar. We said, "I'll tell you the grace of Anan Kavodach Alam Kodeshecho." But that very much. Yishmai Mishmat Mekolecho. The grace of Alim Bar Pleitayar. The Rosh revealed himself. So, what's the point of this bracha? Right? What's this hakdama? That we give the hakdama, and we start bringing the psukim. That's a kol shayfer, and etc. Then we talk about Hanavim. The Rosh is going to be going to be Kiskar Shefer Tishmo, they're going to hear, you talk about Shefer Gadol. What's the purpose of a Shefer Gadol? Right? It's revelation. The Rosh Hashanah is revealing himself. We wouldn't be able to learn Torah without the revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The human mind can't grasp Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way to do that. The Zohar has a lashon that the Machshava can't be Tfisa, you can't grasp. The Baal Tanya says that, you know, I tell you, you know, I want you to hold on to this thought. So you put your hand out to hold on to the thought. Right? The hand can't grasp a thought. It doesn't work. We use the word grasp, but you can't do it with your hand. So, the same way a hand can't grasp a thought, our minds can't grasp a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the distance. But the Russian revealed himself, and he made a way that we could understand him. We could have a Yidiya in him. So the place where we come, the Russian revealed himself, and therefore I'm able to learn his Torah, I'm able to grow as a Ben Torah, I'm able to have direction in life, I'm able to have the Siyata Nishmaya the Torah gives me, is in the bracha of Tony Glaser. That's the place where in my Shemoneh where I want to stop and to think about what, how my life is blessed with the fact that I'm a Ben Torah, the fact that I learned Torah, the fact that I know Torah, the fact that I have Torah that's guiding me. And here's a place in Shemoneh Esrei where the Bershom, where I can stop and focus on that fact that the Bershom did such a chesed to the world that he was Megala himself. And he will do it again. When the Bershom is the Sharfer, the Godot, which will come, means he's revealing himself. There'll be a revelation and awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which wasn't here until now, and we will go to Madrega of a clarity and understanding which we didn't have before. If that's my focus in life and my goal in life, and that's something that's very important to me. I don't want to be selfish and just think about myself. I'm happy that the Bresham did it for my friends. Moedim and Achdoloch, we say Moedim, we say in the plural. So if you think about that, that's a fascinating thing to say in the plural. So like, you know, so you get up and take, you know, Bresham, thank you that Al Chayenu Am Sirim Yedech, on our lives, who's ours? Who's our lives? Well, of course, so. Right? The guy that I like and the guy that I don't like. Every morning I thank Kadosh Baruch Hu that the fellow that I don't like has life. The Russian gave him life also, and I'm thanking. The Russian, no. I'll thank you for the guys that I like. Guys I don't like, and I wish you hadn't done that. You know, that's not an option. You have to say thank you for everybody. So, the same way when it comes, that's true in life, that's true in Torah. I'm thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Russian shared Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. Thank Kadosh Baruch Hu that he revealed himself in the world, and therefore there's awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And the next step of that thought process is, what can I do? That's important to me. I care about that. So I want to. What can I do to help that? Menayona says that part of the concept of Arbis is that each person has to be a Sir Nemun, a trustworthy shliach, to bring Kadosh Baruch Hu's awareness to the Bria. I can do that by acting properly. I can do that, etc. But because I care, I told you, Lisa means I should be thinking about, you know, just me. I'm happy. I'm learning Torah. That's where you stop. No, I don't stop there. I'm happy that I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my life. I don't stop there. I want to live that life in such a way that others will do that as well. Because if you really love your master, he says, an avid who loves his master doesn't just, he's not happy when the other avadim don't recognize the master. It bothers him. He wants other avadim to also recognize the master and praise the master and thank the master. So that's maybe a place where I would see that in tefillah, we can take our thoughts about that those emotions that we have and express them. Where do we have a place where we're mavakish in the future? So that's Poshet, you know, well, at least one place, you know, is in Birkas Kriya Shema. We daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avtonu. You notice in that paragraph, the words of Rachmonis, the verse of having mercy, you had tremendous pity in us. Right? Have Lashon of Chanino and Usalmenu teach us. Rino Ha'av, Harachim, and Hamarachim, Rachim Aleinu. The Malta Katz tells Roshiva one time, said, he says, you walk by house, you hear a person screaming, he says, Tata, 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 Zisa Tata, Tata was Hatachmonis. You know, what do you think the end of the sentence is going to be? Please heal my relative who is sick. That's usually that type of language which we have. That intensity of tefillah comes with, you know, there's a tzara, right? Right? somebody's not well, that they just had her terrible psura, their company is falling apart, you know, and he's going to go bankrupt, you know. We say every morning, you know, that we use that language. What? That's what we use that language for. Now, where else do you use it? We don't have the language like that anywhere else in Tefillah, that power, that intensity of language of Bakasha. Like multiple languages of mercy and pity and chanina. You know, it's like, wow. One of the things which we look is towards the future. We would like to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for Chaim. So that part is pretty easy. That you don't need me to figure out where to put that in Zochein L'Chaim. I just want to point out one thing from Zochein L'Chaim and onwards, obviously. That the Rishon Salanter in that phrase, right? Right, so there are 11 words over there. Which word did Rishon Salanter sit and spend a lot of time thinking about? The word Lamancha. We can ask for life. And we recognize Kodesh Baruch Hu Melech, which is Chafetz Bachayim. We say it, and really you say it, like you mentioned, in the Ilah. Rashi tells the Chesed Lavi, he says, do you think I want the mace person to die? I don't want a person, I want the person to live. I want it to live. Because then Sefer Achayim. Right? So he wanted that it should be Ksiva Sefer Achayim. Lamancha. So he says, Lamancha, for you. Like, you know, most of us, like, you know, whoever the python is, you know, the garden, right? So we'll call him Reb Eliezer, right? So Reb Eliezer says, Reb Eliezer, I'm with you. Yeah, I get it. Melchum Hitzachayim, I get it. Chesed Hitzachayim, I'm with you. Lamancha, whoa. I want life. I want life for you. Right? For your sake. So that's a major commitment, that we're ready to live our life like that. That we're committing to say that, Russia, listen, I understand, so he says this like this, that I can't tell you from first-hand experience in a major way, but there's people who have people involved in very big business, you know, and they have to travel, etc. They have the company gives them an expense account. So, you know, so if you fly into town and you rent your own car, so you'd rent, like, you know, it's a medium-sized car, it's a compact, you know, etc. It's on the company's expense account, so you rent a luxury car. You have to, you know, it's like, have to presentable, you know, right? You know, you need a place, you need a hotel to stay in. So, you know, so there's the charity inn, you know, right? You know, right? Right? Company's expense account, and, you know, so it's a Taj Mahal, you know, right? The restaurants, you know, so there's, like, you know, there's the McDavid's, you know, fast food, you know, dollar hamburger, or there's, like, you know, the Lavana's, right? You know, like, you know, top end. It's an expense account. So he says this world is a very expensive world. Right? He says the Russian is giving it's a gorgeous. This is a gorgeous hotel. Gorgeous hotels cost very expensive. There's no option for the cheap one. So if you try doing your own expense account, it's very difficult because you don't have enough money in your account. There's no hotel as gorgeous as this world, and there's nothing more precious than life. It's more valuable than a fancy car, right? So how do you pay for it? So the answer is Lamancha. You put in the expense account. If I'm there working for you, so I get in my expense account. If I'm there working for myself, the person says, okay, fine, let's see what you could afford to pay for this. So you stop and think, you know, but you can't say Lamancha if you don't mean it. Russia is Amos. You're coming, you know. So he would spend a long time by Lamancha. Now, I'm not Rishon Salanter, and I'm not talking about that Madrega. But I would suggest that we probably think about this before we get to Shmoneh Esrei, because when we get to Shmoneh Esrei, we shouldn't get a jolt. And then, like, an hour later, he's still standing by Lamancha. like wondering, is it, you know, is it, is it not? Like, you know, like, you know, Russia, like, maybe, you know, can make a deal? You know, like, you don't want that, you know. You want that there's some way, at some point in my life, some element of my life at least, I can see that you know, I would like to make some way that I'm here to fulfill the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be a small action, be a small commitment, be some interaction with another person that I care about, that I want to help him get better in his avodah, because I know the Baruch Hu wants that. Right? Some way I'm there, I'm here l'mancha. A person can give some thought to that. So l'mancha is emes. That's for the future. What's for the hove? So Revolver says a fascinating thing. He builds this up in Al-Chelik Al and Chelik Beis, both places. It brings its Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't. The Gemara brings Rashi brings in Chumash. Basher Husham. Right. So what's Basher Husham? So the Rosh Hashanah, we actually laid it the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is very, very appropriate. So Yishmael is dying of thirst. The Rosh Hashanah brings a well there for. Basher Husham, right? The Rosham sends the well, Basher Husham. So Rashi says, what's Basher Husham? The Rosham is saving them. So the Malachim had a taina that there's going to, the descendants of this individual are one day going to cause the Jews to die through thirst. You're going to bring him a well? Bring him water. The person who's going to cause Jews to die through thirst deserves to get a water? The Rosham says, what is he now? Tzaddik or Rosh? He's a Tzaddik. Okay, Basher Husham. I judge him Basher Husham. I don't judge him based on the future. Fine. The Yerushalmi on that Gemara has a different version. The Rana Fananel on the side brings Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has a different version, brings a Pasuk, which means the Russian doesn't judge on the past. He says, okay, great. The Russian doesn't judge on the past, doesn't judge on the future. So what does he judge on? He judges on the Hoiva. Right now, at this moment, is what is my attitude towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu? The Russian said, listen, I made the world, it's my place. And you're coming and asking, you'd like to fit into this world. So that's no problem. I'm with you. Tell me, do you fit in this world? So if you say that Hashem is the master, and you recognize that, and you would like to fit into his world, you'd like to do as best as you can to fit into what his world is supposed to look like. So he says, fine. Great. I'm there. Now, you might not well do so well in the future, but at least right now when you come and ask, that's your attitude. That's called Malchus. Malchus says you accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. What does that mean? So Kadosh Baruch Hu the Melech means you recognize that he is the source of everything. You're asking to fit into his world. And you're going to try and fit in. And the Russian sees that that's true. So one of the thoughts you think about, you know, is before we get to Shemoneh Esrei is what I think about that. Do I say, you know what? Yeah, I'm in. I would like to, as best as I can, live with that, live like that. She says, great. So I get to Malchus, which we have really. Which is even before you get to Malchus, is in Kedushas Hashem. Bernie talks about. The Baruch Hashem should be the Melech on the world. Where do I stand vis-a-vis this sentence? Baruch Hashem, I want that your pachad should be al koma asecha. So we stop for a second and we think about, you know, our lives are going to change. So I'm asking Baruch Hashem, I would like my life to change. I'd like to have a different attitude towards life. I'm asking him that Russia should put his pocket on the whole Bria, but Russia said to me, I'm much more comfortable the way I am. It's not an honest feeling. No, I really would like to have more Yerushalayim. I really would like to serve the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I really would like to live my life with the yoke of heaven. Okay, let's describe that. The yoke of heaven, I told you, Ramesh Rosh Hashiva, one of my chaverim pointed out. There wasn't the move that he made. He didn't think of beforehand. You would watch him physically move his hand. You would see he was thinking before he moved his hand. Before he said a word, there was thought. Every word, any word sentence that he said, he would think and say. If he sat and thought, is this something he should be saying? or should not be saying? Does Kosh Baruch want him to say it or not? Before he put any food in his mouth, he sat and he thought, is this something that Russian wants him to eat or not? Right. That's quite a different lifestyle than we live. Right. That's pachad. You're standing in the presence of the king. You're standing there by the king in front, by his table, by his court. You don't move without feeling confident that that's what the king wants you to do. You don't start eating. You don't eat. You don't, right. So now, the Rambam says this is Shulchan Aruch Siman Aleph. We've been told this is Shulchan Aruch Siman Hey. I once had the following horror. This little whole close with this. That I once heard from Rav Schlossberg was his name. Rav Schlossberg was the Heusbacher. Rav Lapian in his old age, elderly years, his wife had passed on, so he didn't want to stay in his house by himself. Luckily, he's not preferred to do that. So he had Bacher sleeping there. It was called a Heusbacher, a house Bacher. So he, for a bit of time, he was the house Bacher by Rav Lapian towards the end of his life. Quite a sus to be the Heusbacher by Rav Lapian. So Rebellia started getting up very early. So he asked, the shkiach, he needs to sleep. He's not so young anymore. He needs some sleep. He has to get up so early. He started getting up earlier than usual. So he said, I'm short time. I'm not here in this world anymore. I'm going to come to Shemayim and ask me, did you keep halacha? You keep the Torah? I'm going to say yes. They say, okay, fine, let's see. I'm going to take out Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to start going through Shulchan Aruch sif by sif to see if I fulfilled it. How many times I did it, how many times I didn't. So, it's not going to be easy. And you're going to be chapped, get the Siman 9 Zion, you're going to keep this halacha. It's pretty bad. It says, but you don't want to get chapped on the first Siman. On the first sif. You come to Shemayim, the first sif, and you say, nisht. The first sif says that a person should be a reshachar, you should get up before dawn to love what it's. How can I get up early? No. It's not going to go well. Right? That's what Rebellia said. Now, if you look at that sif, there's a long remor on that sif about Shvisi Hashem Negdi Somid. Kosh Baruch Hu should have a person's presence in front of you at all moments. That therefore the way you open your mouth and the way you walk and the way you eat and everything you do is different when you're in the presence of the Melech than you're not in the presence of the Melech. He wasn't bothered by that problem. Rebellia wasn't worried about that part. He was worried about the getting up in the morning problem. That's my aura on that story. Right? So you know what? Can I ask okay then pass the thought? So I think the answer is yes, you could. And for two reasons. Because deep down that's what we want. Right? But more than that, when it'll happen, we'll want it. It's like the Bacher, told me he didn't want to go to Israel to learn these certain yeshiva. I said, why not? Because he's afraid he's gonna frum out over there. Right? He's really nervous he'll frum out over there. I said, and then he'll be like frumed out. He'll want to learn. I said, okay, but and then what happened? You learn. He says, what's the problem? He says, when it'll happen, you'll want it. It's like, they're gonna brainwash you and force something you don't want. They're gonna show you that you want this, and you're gonna want it. So everything's wonderful. What are you worried about? He says, yeah, but I'm worried about wanting to want it. I said, okay, we need to discuss that. I think we're at the point where we want to want it. We're wanna want it. I'm not sure where wanna is, we're wanna want it. I wanna learn. I don't wanna learn, but I wanna learn. I don't want to do mitzvahs like that, but I want to do mitzvahs like that. Okay. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Russia, help me with that. Because when it happens, I want it. So, at least we're wanna-wanas. So, as long as we can be wanna-wanas, we can say this tefillah with an Arab sky. But we need to at least stop before we say the tefillah and say, Russia, attack a wanna-wana. Think about that beforehand. So we get to this tefillah. It'll be an expression of my desire. I really would love that the whole world should have this pachad and ema from you, and the yiruch kol amasim, yourself and kol abrim. The whole world is going to commit to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to live our lives like that, day and night, right? That's Malchus. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about what do I want now. If I want that now, I've been Mekabel Malchus. So, and we get, then you get, then you get to the, to the, to the, to Tefillah Malchus, right? And we say Malach Kolorim Kula Bechvedecha Nesal Kolorim Bikarecha Vafar Agan Gzerecha Kli Yishes Zelatzecha. It's expressing me. It's I'm talking. This is something which I thought about, something which I'm interested in, something which I would like to do. So, the and the truth is, it is true. That's what we want. We do want that. But we shouldn't wait to get to Shemin Esrei to think about that. When it gets to Shemin Esrei, let's think. Do I want this or not? But I thought about it. I do want this, and I'm waiting to get to Shemin Esrei as an opportunity to express that rots and that desire. I have the map. I have the direction. I know where I want to go. I'm just waiting to get into the car and do it and to go. And that's the kavanah that we're looking for when we daven Shemin Esrei. Shezarecha tuksiva uksima tova. Sorry, kid. A little tense today.
What?
A little bit of tense today.
Oh, no, it wasn't tense. Within the Lamancha, like in the first Baruch Shemin Esrei, is it like understanding that because we start off saying that we know that Hashem is really, like, I don't know if this is right, the first bracha, but